Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, man, we are Dukes and Bell. Sorry we're behind schedule, but who's going to tell Miss Dooley to stop talking because she's delightful? It is Chris in for Carl. We start every hour, every show with a big hearty,
Hey, man.
Live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Man, it's been a crazy day up here at Falcons. The media wants answers. You want answers. I want the truth.
You can handle the truth.
I'm not sure I got the truth.
What is the truth?
All right, why is a guy who's like, guys, here are the facts we know about Kirk Cousins. He has been one of the good, if not best, play-action pass quarterback. In other words, fake the handoff, be able to set. In a, it's a skill set. Not everybody can do it. Matt Ryan could do it. Certainly Matthew Stafford's done it. Zach Robinson comes from the Rams team. We assume that we're going to see Kirk Cousins, as we saw in the camp. Yes, they were in shotgun in camp, but they're also under center in camp. He's a tremendous play-action pass quarterback. Why are you taking that away? You're not getting that same juice out of the pistol. And you were so predictable. Now we're finding out that this conversation goes all the way back to the spring when they first signed him as a free agent, as if this was Zach's plan. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Nobody,
either.
The media doesn't get it. The fans don't get it.
But he gets it. So
I'm not sure Kirk gets it.
If you missed it, Kirk basically went on a two-minute, can I call it a soliloquy, Mike Bell?
Well, he did literally, if you unless you're you got a kid who's going to court like the Manning passing camp, he basically did 2 minutes of like the wonkiest stuff as far as footwork and how he's throwing it out of the different approaches from the shotgun slash pistol.
Yeah, essentially he said that this idea was going all the way back to April, like Mike just said, and that he didn't feel as comfortable because when you hand off to the right side in the formation, the running back gets on you quick, so you got to speed up your motion as compared to when he's under center. He has a little bit more time to turn to his right and get the ball. So they worked on putting his left foot forward, his right foot forward. Oren said he has the cut. Let's hear from the horse's mouth.
All right, we saw him move to his left. We talked about this when he makes the touchdown throw to Pitts. He shows good mobility moving to his left and throwing, obviously, he's right-handed. So Kirk said he's fine. Coach Raheem Morris, you'll hear the conversation coming up in a strong arm story, says he's okay, he's fine. So why are you reinventing the wheel with how you use Kirk Cousins and how he gets the ball in the playmaker's hands, Chris? I don't understand this.
One small caveat was left out of that cut, Mike. You know why Peyton Manning went to the pistol in Denver?
Because he had...
Because his neck was snapped in half, Mike.
He basically had to... Remember, we used to joke around. They took the blood, they spun it around, they had like a tiny little mini Peyton was growing out of his neck. So they had to do that. It's like Quattro in Total Recall.
Yeah, they went to... him and Kobe Bryant went to Germany for that special transfusion that they do to the blood.
All right, let's hear from Zach Robinson. First things first, McGarry's got a groin, as Carl would say. We did bring in another tackle guy, Brandon Parker, who started over 30 games in the NFL, formerly of the 49ers most recently. We also know Storm Norton certainly did a good job when McGarry was banged up last year. But here is your offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, saying they thought they had a plan to help McGarry with T.J. Watt. Also, the good first half, bad second half. You know, you went to the silent count. It just seemed like everybody in the Steelers just knew when the ball was being snapped. Here's Zach on what happened.
Okay, question. If it works so well, you running out and getting Kyle Pitts the ball on the move, Zach, why didn't you do it more? Why wasn't there more of that in the game plan? Why wasn't that something that you featured if it worked so well? You never went back to it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to it with Coach Rob. We asked Coach Rob about why we didn't go right after T.J. Watt. We talked about, you know, the silent count. You'll hear all those questions, and some of the answers are maybe not the answers you were looking for, but the answers we tried to get. You'll hear that coming up. Let's get one more from Zach Robinson. Ask if we're going to continue this offense against the Eagles on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean,
guys, I'm trying to wrestle with this. I keep thinking about the old Actors Studio interview with Alec Baldwin when he talks about some of the bad decisions he's made on movies. He goes, you read a script, and we read a script. We told you about it all summer. Here's what we think we're going to see. Kirk Cousins, play action using Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Going to suck in the defense, and we'll get these playmakers the ball. That's like Alec Baldwin says, you know, you read a script, and hey, they pitch the idea to you. We're going to Tahiti. Oh, we're going to make the movie in Tahiti. And you get on the boat, and about 10 feet out off the dock, they say, no, changing plans. We're going to Staten Island. And that's what this feels like. It just feels like a total bait and switch over what we thought we were going to get. And, you know, as we said, and I did give me some credit, I did say to Carl, we don't know what a Zach Robinson offense looks like. We don't know how Pitts operates in this offense. You got questions. We'll try to get some answers. We sat down with Raheem Morris, but, I mean, I know I don't want to sound like I'm losing. Well, I am. You know what? Screw that. I am losing my mind inside the Ticketmaster studios. I'm confused. I'm a little confused by your tactics.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just not sure what we're trying to do here and why we're trying to reinvent the wheel unless you have to compensate for a quarterback who can't do the things you're expecting to do. But then again, today, we see Kirk Cousins backing up and taking snaps as if he's under center.
And doing play action while doing so, to double down on that even further, Mike. I don't think we're going to know exactly what the situation is, but we will at least in just a couple of days get to see a second attempt at this on Monday night.
This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. I feel like literally getting under one of my garage doors and just slamming it on my head right now. We'll come back. What did Coach Ra have to say? Is Kirk Cousins really healthy? Why didn't we go after T.J. Watt? You know, what's going on here? Next on Dukes and Bell. As Coach Rock comes in, what's up, big man? Hey, man, good to see you. It's our first conversation as Coach gets set up with the headphones. We know that we don't want to make it Groundhog Day, but because Coach has answered a lot of these same questions earlier this week, our first opportunity to catch up with you for our audience and Falcon fans to listen to our show to hear from you. So apologize. I know you.
We are not concerned with Groundhog Day. You know, you got to be really comfortable in your skin and your preparation and things that you do and your everyday process that it becomes a comfort, you know, like you guys are my couch, you know, I got to sit down and be able to talk to you guys and be able to absolutely get across the things you want to get across. So like, you know, like feel free, man. Don't apologize for the necessary evil we call you.
Right, man. the doctor is in. We get it. You're not going to come on the podium and say, hey, Eagles, our quarterback's not 100%. So where is Kirk? Because we did not expect to see the way the offense kind of went. It was that Zach Robinson having to adjust to where Kirk is with his Achilles.
Kirk is fine. You know, we game planned it that way. It is what it is. We're going to go out there and play the game. You know, nobody sits around and talks about injuries in this game, in this business. If you're cleared to go, you're ready to go, you play the game. And we'll go out there and play the football games. And I got a lot of confidence in our quarterback. I have a lot of confidence in our offense. And we'll bounce back. You know, we do things the right way. Our quarterback does things the right way. His preparation, all the things that he's done throughout his career, the trust that I have in him, the belief that I have in him, that's not going to change. You remain unwavering in this business, man. You can't ride the emotional roller coaster that you try to make you ride. And in today's society, especially, you look like you're old as me. So
I am actually.
Our guys that kind of run this thing, man. We were trained on a different train than most. So we'll go with that. We'll go with that room.
Coach, Kirk Cousins is so good in the play-action passing game. How come there wasn't more of that in Week 1, and should we expect to see more of that as he gets progressive in the offense with Zach Robinson?
I won't tell you what you expect to see, but what I will tell you is, you know, it's harder to get play-actions and turning your back on the Pittsburgh Steelers because of what they do and how they rush. So what you try to do is do a couple of different things where you can get the play-action passes off of different protectors in different situations and different schemes. So that definitely affected some of that last week. It's not to say there was none in, but last week it didn't call for it at the time. When you're talking about trying to take deep shots versus those rushers and doing some of those different things are not necessarily a thing that you can do without certain ways you want to do it. But, you know, no excuses there. Not that you couldn't get them in. I'm not telling you that you can't run a play-action pass on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I've coached in that defense. I've been around it. I know how hard and uncomfortable they can make it when you talk about those things. We got to do the things that we planned on doing in that game better, and that's what we can rely on. That's what we can focus on, and Kurt, definitely, that's one of the better things he does within his game that he's done throughout his career, so we got to find ways to get those things done.
It is Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys. Carl's on vacay this week. He's a Kentucky dad, so he's up there for the Georgia.
You lose one game, and Carl leaves the station.
Yeah, I mean, he quit on you.
That's what
happened. Quit on you, Bassett. You know what that's like, man. Texas guy. Coach is with us live inside the Ticketmaster studios. We know that T.J. Watt is that kind of generational talent. I was sitting in the stands, I realized, I think the second half we went to a silent count. It just seemed like he was really able to get some keys with the things you could self-scout and maybe clean up to not give the defense the advantage.
I'll tell you what, you know, he picked it up in that game from the things they'd done last year that he picked up from a tip, and he was able to get off the ball. And he's an excellent player. Let's not kid ourselves. So, like, I don't even know if he needs a tip. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets off so well. He plays the game the right way. But anytime you give a player like that an advantage, and we've been around that before, we've seen those kind of looks, we've seen those kind of things, not necessarily from a rusher, but from a wideout that we coached when we had Julio Jones here playing for us. He found those things and those tips within the defense. He's able to exploit those things because he's a great player. No different than TJ. I don't want to take away from any respect from that man's game by saying that he was able to key on something. That was the only reason he had a success, because that would be absolutely false, because that had nothing to do with that first play when he knifed through the backfield and made a tackle in the backfield for loss because he's a great player. And I'll leave it at that with that guy.
Coach, we got about 650 pounds of former UGA beef lining up against our offensive line coming up. But could we see some more of maybe a Charlie Warner to help out in that regard?
You know, he's definitely got to be somebody that's got to be able to go out there and help us and get some things done. You know, you always got a heavy dose of what Charlie does and what those guys are able to do. Ross and all those guys are great compliments to each other. But we got to get out there and find a way. That UGA beef is definitely coming. Mm-hmm. They were a lot of fun to watch. We watched them win championships. We cheered for them all across wherever I was, no matter what, because of the respect that I have for that program and admiration I've been able to get from them when I coached there before. But they got a lot of Eagles.
Right.
And right now they'll just be green. They'll be nameless gray faces, and we got to get out there and go attack them.
Coach Ross with us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell. As part of your evolution, like so many, you know, great coaches, you work both sides of the football, so you know offense and defense. It looked like, again, just from my two cents, we're sitting in the stands. Did you see on the tape the receivers getting the separation you wanted to see, or this wasn't enough time for the routes to develop?
You know, we had separation, and this league is a tight windows and things of that nature, so we were able to get some of those things due. Mooney had a great route. We had a couple good routes on curl routes. You know, their guys did a nice job in coverage, and some of the things they're able to do make you hold the ball and progress. And if you don't have time to progress to some of the open players, it is what it is. Like, it's the football game. It's how we want to play, and it's a game of inches. There's no doubt about it. And they got the better of the inches that day. We played their brand of football. I called it the ugly brand of football, but that's the Steelers way. Right. You know, I talked to Mike Tomlin a lot about how they play, how they win games, and they won the game, how they wanted to win it that day. you know, stealing that game with the one possession and us not being able to conjure up something to get them going to make them guys open up a little bit more to absolutely unleash some of the things that we can do a little better.
I know you've answered 20 questions about Kirk Cousins' Achilles. He showed mobility moving to his left when he hit Pitts for the touchdown right in front of us. But do you feel that, that shows he can do things and it was just simply a matter of rust or just there's no way to replicate the game speed that he had to deal with for the first time?
I'll definitely tell you, you know, it definitely was different for him going out there in a while. So I'll give him that, and I'll give everybody that. You know, you got to be able to get out there and actually play, and you got to get out there and play in the time that permits for when it counts and when it matters, and it matters most on Sundays. And so he'll get better and better. I got a lot of confidence in that, and he definitely showed us he can move, he can run. We've been through all the gamuts and everything that you can do. So, you know, you got to ignore the noise sometimes about the injuries and all those things. You know, it's no different than any player coming back off any type of injury. No different than Grady. Grady had the success, so we didn't have to have those conversations. Kurt did not, so we're having these conversations. And we'll get back out there. You know, Kurt will go out there and he'll bounce back.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For as well as he possibly can.
As we discuss, all hands on deck against a stout Eagles defense. Tyler Allgeier only had 3 carries, but he was effective in doing so. 21 yards. Should he be a bigger part of the game plan this week?
You know, anytime you only get 50 players on offense, that's always going to limit some of your playmakers. You know, you want to be able to extend some of those possessions. So, like the first drive, when he did get these possessions and he got those carries and was very effective, it was Bijan, Bijan, Bijan. Here comes Tyler. Boom, boom. And you're able to get the rotation going when you're able to, you know, get some of those drive going, or you hit some explosive plays down the field, and then you can go in and finish some of those things off because you're giving guys rest. So we got to increase the explosives, or we got to increase our number of plays in order to get all the touches that you want to get. You're never going to come out of a game getting everybody the touches you want to get them, but certainly Tyler is one of those guys that definitely deserves it. But I couldn't take it from Bijan and give it to Tyler for no reason at all. I need those guys to get those numbers up as an overall offensive standpoint and the numbers of snaps that we get within the game plan in order to get those numbers up.
We all loved it when Kirk got here, you know, the leadership, the intangibles, everybody talking about it. Bijan saying, wow, this guy's really good. That's why I think everybody was just thrown for a loop for where things went, because you just talked about you had basically 3 empty possessions because of those turnovers. Does he come to you and say, I'll be better, coach? Do you have those conversations?
He definitely did. You know, that Kirk is very transparent as it gets, and he's one of those guys that was very open and honest about how he felt right away. There was never any thought or any worry in my mind that he wouldn't be, because that's who he is. That's who he's been. He's always been that kind of a guy. He's always been that style of a guy, and he's always been that type of player. And I can't wait to see the bounce back.
We know how good the defense looked. It's going to be a tough assignment this week, taking on a rejuvenated Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. How important is it going to be to maintain your lanes and your gap integrity?
Oh, man, so much so. We call it shoot awareness, and you got to keep this guy contained, because you let him get out the shoot, he is a problem. And he is somebody that you got to get on the ground. He's a great guy. He's a great human, known really well from his days at Penn State, playing for James Franklin up there. And he's always fun to play, but at the same time, scary to play. And those type of guys that are all over this league that you got to find ways to get on the ground, and we had to find a way to get them on the ground this week.
Grady looked really good. How'd the new guys do, Simmons and Judon, and your impressions?
You know, Judon got the half a sack with Grady. He did some really good things for us on cap-offs and running to the football and setting edges. He looked powerful. Justin was able to get out there and get a couple tackles, made a couple plays on the ball. I believe one, exactly. You know, one play on the ball out there in the flat was a really good play by him, getting up, waving a finger. Was really fired up how those guys integrated into the defense and was able to go out there and play the amount of snaps they were able to play for us. You know, like, it's a lot of credit to the coaches on his staff. It's a lot of credit to the players and the humans themselves to be able to pick up the stuff and do the stuff they were able to do to go out there and finish a whole game for us. And I look forward to those guys getting better every single week.
I know this is more of a question for your OC, but since we got you, we'll ask you. Running to the right side, it seemed like almost exclusively going to the left. Lindstrom certainly and McGarry are good going forward. And McGarry's good run blocker. Is that something maybe next time you go right after a guy like TJ Watt?
You know, you always want to go right at TJ, you know, until you don't. Until that first play of the game, he makes a play. But we always go, and that was nothing intentional. That has something to do maybe with the hash or whatever the case may be you were on when you ran some of them plays. But, you know, when you want to run the ball, you want to be effective and efficient running it both ways. We got a lot of confidence in Caleb. We got a lot of confidence in our left side and Jake and all those guys, Bergeron, Dahlman. Lindstrom, all those guys up front, we got so much confidence on it. And we didn't play our best game up front that we're capable of playing across the board. And I know we'll get better there as well. And that's just what it is. And that's just the brutal, honest conversation that we have within our organization and within our the confinements of our walls that makes it very easy and open for us to talk about this.
Coach, you've preached accountability, so has your quarterback, since you got here day one. How was practice this week? How was holding those guys accountable for the things you need to improve upon?
You know, first off is acknowledging it, right? First off is bringing it up and being able to talk about it and be straightforward about how you want to do it. The next is finding a solution for it and what you want to do and how you want to go clean up your operation and be able to get some of those things done. And then the next thing to do is go out there and execute it on the practice field. So we're in our days of practice right now going through the process, but I'm fired up at where we're going. I'm fired up where we're going to be. And like I said, I got confidence in Kurt. I got confidence in the offense. I got confidence in our coaches to be able to go fix some of those things and get it done.
All right, well, let's get back to the game plan. One last question. So we talked a lot about it this week. You've already been on record saying, you know, Kirk is fine with the Achilles. Do you wish you had more reps for Penix just in case in the preseason, or the plan was the plan?
No, you know, the plan is the plan when you got Penix out there, right? When you're out there in the preseason, for Penix to go out there and to be able to operate the way he was in the game that we saw him do it in, to make some of the things that we wanted him to get done, to go through some of the progressions, to be able to talk about some of the changes and plays that we're able to see and how he saw the game, he becomes one of the guys that you can mitigate injury with, right? Taking him out of those situations, making it harder on him in practice, getting him ready to go and be able to do some of those things. So that's the plan. And then he'll be ready to go whenever he has to or whenever that comes, right? He's preparing right now because you always one step away in this game, and he's always ready to go, and his coach is doing a great job with him.
All right, big man, go get that dub up in Philly, man.
Let's go, babe.
We know those people are animals up there, man. Take the crowd out early.
Man, they're awesome, man. It's always a fun environment to go play in.
Thanks, Coach Raheem Morris, guys, our weekly visit.
Yeah, and great stuff there from Coach Mike. As we've been saying all afternoon, though, I mean, there's only so much that you can really say and divulge in terms of where the quarterback is at from a public standpoint, to not make it so that everybody's trying to tee off on him.
Yeah, but again, getting back, and we'll talk more about it, guys, because a lot of folks just don't understand why we're reinventing the wheel with Kirk Cousins. We thought we were going to, you know, do play action. We thought it was going to be like Matthew Stafford. How many times have we invoked Matthew Stafford and what this offense is going to look like? So it's the chicken and the egg. Are they doing this stuff because he's not 100%? They don't want to admit it? Or this really is the way that Zach Robinson sees it's the most effective way to use Kirk Cousins, which was not the case. Mm-hmm. And again, if you thought that, you know, Watt and company were tough, now you're on the road in Philly against a big physical front. Guys, this hour of the show is brought to you by Old Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Carl's on vacay. Chris is in as we're live at the Ticketmaster Studios. Hear from you guys. You heard Coach Rye. You heard some of the sound bites we played from Zach Robinson. What do you think going into Philly? What do you think where this offense is going? Why are we running it like this? What is your take? 404-726-0929. Let's get your reaction next. It is 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, the number one show and the number one station for sports right here in the A. With Chris in for Carl today, live at the Ticketmaster Studios. Been a busy day, guys. If you missed our conversation with Matthew Judon, our big edge rusher who's got a great attitude, and he's a really fun guy to talk to. Our first chance to catch up with him. You'll hear that in the 6 o'clock hour. Grant's got the day off today, and some would say the Braves have taken all of the month off when it comes to offense, save for the night before last. We needed to bank those 11 runs. Not the way it works in the bigs last night. Nothing really to see other than 1,000 tiny cuts. Hurts Max Fried, and he couldn't field this position last night, and Braves couldn't score, Chris.
No, and it just really portends to more of the same, unfortunately. It looks like coming up against the Dodgers for 4 games. They had the one big game against the Nats where you said they scored 12, but like, what faith do you have that they're going to be able to replicate that at all against the Dodgers?
Yeah, Marcelo Ozuna, we've been living with him, basically the team on his back. He's batting 250 right now for September, so it's at some point you knew he was going to have to cool off a little bit. More on the Braves coming up tomorrow with Grant, but as we said, it's just frustrating. Ronaldo Lopez, 15-day IL, you need him against the Dodgers, and I don't know what Max Fried's going to get in the open market. I still think it's more than the Braves will be willing to spend. But just another one of those, you know, ones that left him shaking his head afterwards up there in D.C. All right, man, let's talk about the Falcons. A lot of guys are fired up, Chris. Nobody understands what's going on. I was just texting with Carl, and I go, I have no idea what we're doing. They're talking about a commitment to, like, this that goes all the way back to the spring, right after he got signed.
April.
Yeah, bringing Kirk Cousins in and this idea about, you know, using the pistol and the shotgun. which doesn't make a lot of sense. And if it's not an injury, then you start to like begin to wonder, what is Zach Robinson doing? Because that's not the way they do things with the Rams. And I don't know why you got to reinvent the wheel when you got a guy, Kirk Cousins, unless, of course, as we said earlier, it's a physical thing. So if we can get your guys' take on this at 404-726-0929, we'll start with Steven. Hey, man, you're in the game, bro, on Duke's about what you got.
Hey, man. Let me just say this, man. It's hurt. Everybody can clearly see that he's injured. He hasn't fully recovered. And even before Kirk Cousins recovered last year, he was 0-3, right? So there may be hope. He ended up being 4-4 last year. But he lost to the Eagles, and he also lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. And, of course, he lost. No, I think they beat the – no, they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, to be fair, hang on, Steven. I'll let you finish. To be fair, he wasn't that. The team was. He was having an MVP caliber season
before
he got
hurt. No, he was not. He had 9 turnovers in 8 games.
Go look at the numbers.
Aaron, dump him. You got to come on. Get your facts straight. I try to be respectful, but I'm not going to. He had 18 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That was before he got hurt. He was on pace for 36 touchdowns. So, I mean, got to know your stuff, my man. Look, we talked about the playoff game. If you don't like Kirk Cousins, that's fine, but use the facts, okay? If you have an agenda, I asked Coach about what's up with, if you wanted to see Penix, and they say Penix is ready to go, they need him, but it's always been about Kirk Cousins. So, come on, let's not make stuff and pull stuff out of your tuchus. Ramil, hey, man, you're in the game. Braun Duke Sabell, what you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I honestly don't think nothing wrong with Kirk, because I would have never went into the game Sunday and come out the game saying that Arthur Smith called a better game than the Falcons called. I think we underestimate the fact that it's Zach Robinson, first year calling plays. You know, like, he's very good at making adjustments and stuff. So I think that might be a problem throughout the year.
You know, we talked about this with Coach and the silent count, where you've got Chris Lindstrom tapping, Dahlman, Drew Dahlman on the shoulder. And, I mean, there was no pause. It was almost like it was robotic, to the point where, yes, T.J. Watt was living in our backfield and in our heads rent-free, but everybody on the Steelers were simply getting off in the second half. It backfired. And, again, that's what happens when you got 20,000 Steeler fans making a hell of a lot of noise in the bends, Chris.
Well, if Kirk Cousins isn't hurt, then we have just as big of a problem on our hands as if he is.
Yeah, because then maybe the offensive coordinator smacked his head on a door jam coming here to work. I don't understand why you're using Kirk Cousins that way. It's like I said to Chris, I'm gonna go bang some nails. I'm gonna give me that Phillips head screwdriver. I mean, it's like using a Ferrari off road. What are we doing here? You know, if it is a legitimate health concern, and they know that this is the way to protect him as best they can. Okay, we did pick up some pieces for offensive line. Brandon Parker has started 30-some-odd games in the NFL. Got him from San Francisco. We know that Storm Norton is certainly a good backup. I don't think you lost anything when he took over from McGarry last year. If you're starting to realize that Pro Football Focus is completely out of their minds and right side of our line, not Lindstrom, but McGarry is going to be the weakest link.
Yeah, if there's another couple of weeks, which there very well could be, where he gets worked like he did in game one, how can you not consider making a change?
And the other thing about the physicality, I mean, I'll agree with Raheem. If you look at the touchdown to Pitts, watch Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying he's Baryshnikov, but he's nimble, and he's able to move. He picks him up and puts him down. He moves outside the hash marks to his left, and he makes an accurate throw. So, I mean, and we've seen him backpedal. We saw him backpedal at camp. There's a video out there today that our buddy Joe Patrick shot today from 92.9 where he's backpedaling fine.
Yeah, so then the only logical question becomes, why are you not doing more of that if it worked? And the only logical answer could be because they don't want him to.
Our man Swede is up next. Now, Swede, of course, was there when they invented the forward pass. Hey, man, how you been, stranger? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, they invented the forward pass when I got there. That's true. Guys, I just have to say one thing. There's an old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Something is broke. It's probably the Achilles. And they've got a lot of money invested in this guy, and I think they're trying to do what they can to pass it off to either, the shotgun, the pistol. But in the end, what I really want to say is, and it's, the thought is, before they pass it off, pardon the pun, to Penix, they're going to try to give it everything that they can to try to get him to work with these other options. But obviously his strength is in the drop back pass, and I don't think he's got it. Thanks, guys.
You got it, man. We did see at times, certainly trying to step up in the pocket, and maybe it was the, you know, the game speed part of it. There were some throws, Chris, that just were just awful. You know, I mean, those are two inexcusable picks. You know, there was also, as we said to Raheem, you know, Raheem thought the receivers weren't as bad. I said it looked like they couldn't get separation. Also thought that, you know, there were some plays that we talked about where Bijan's going left when literally he's supposed to go right, releasing out of the backfield. So can't put it all on Kurt, but, like, you could certainly on his shoulders drop those two picks and having the ball snapped into the motion, man.
But at what cost, Mike Bell? That's what it really comes to. Like, how many games or your hand is for? Like,
well, I mean, if they're trying to gaslight us that this is the way their offense is going to work, and eventually we will get to the Cousins we thought we were going to have, which is like what Matthew Stafford looks like with the Rams, but we're going to have to eat it for the first four games. I mean, a lot of Falcons are going to go, why do you have panics ready? That was my point yesterday.
Yeah, and it's
it's just weird.
I don't know, man. I think,
you know, my Spidey sense tells me this is blanked up.
Well, right. Essentially, that's, yeah, to condense it down
you
into,
know what I mean?
To condense it down into one simple sentence. Right. Yes.
No, my Spidey sense says I'm feeling like Dan Quinn regime type things, right? I don't want to feel that after week one. Get it right against the Eagles. But why Zach Robinson is doing this, as we said, half the audience feels like it's just obvious. Kirk's not 100%, but yet he showed the ability to move with the pocket at times. And then you're asking him to do things he's never really done. When he's talking about doing this in Shanahan's offense, backing up RG3, that was, you know,
that was a lifetime ago.
That's a long, I mean.
Yeah.
Come on. Obama was president back then. We'll get back to your conversation, and if you want to sound off on it, 404-726-0929. We'll take a look at the headlines, some stuff around the NFL, some big injury news for you. Also, the Dolphins in action tonight with the Buffalo Bills. Fricky's got the Bridge Show. You'll hear it tonight right here on 92.9 The Game, your home of the NFL. But our conversation with Matthew Judon, I think you're going to – our chance to really, you know, talk to the guy for the first time. I think you're going to like this guy. You'll hear it at 6:20.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.